earth magnetic poles. Take that person to a field out in the middle of nowhere and say, okay, find your way home or back to the place you slept the night before. And 99 out of 100 people will be able to do that, and in a fairly short period of time, okay? And this is, the studies have been done on this. So we do have the same kind of homing instinct that a pigeon has. That is based on the fact that we actually have iron filings, or little tiny shreds of iron in our sinuses. See how important those sinuses are? Now, those sinuses are so important, as the breath comes through, we want them to be clean so we can energize. They're also important in that if we are facing in the magnetic direction that is most comfortable for us, we are going to meditate more easily, okay? So whatever direction you just found, the pull was strongest for you, that's the direction you should be turning your chair to meditate, okay? So put that in the back of your mind. For a lot of you, that's also the direction that you normally sleep at night, okay? And you can go home and check where your bed's at, because by whatever direction we sleep at night, we're setting the body clock by doing that. Most psychics feel that you should sleep with your head in the north, that your body should be aligned north-south when you sleep, and the head should be in the north, because that's in alignment with the Earth's poles. Whether you do that or not is up to you. If you're comfortable with the way you're sleeping, sleep the way you're comfortable. I will tell you that if you sleep with your head in the west, you will be more prone to pick up on other people's dreams, thoughts, and to have your dreams invaded while you sleep, okay? Because that west is much more receptive. It's a water direction, emotional, intuitive. Might help your intuition, but might make you also a little exposed. Okay, did you have anything else? Pardon?
What if you're a condo facing northeast?
Fine, that's your space. Okay, if it feels comfortable, do it. Okay, by the way, they say the second best direction is to have your head in the east. Okay, so you're combining the two. Okay, Jolene, I think?
Colleen.
Sorry about that. How'd you make out with your telepathy, your do good? Tell us.
I had company albums. I didn't do anything. I thought I picked up the. I tried to send a green triangle, but to Alice. I was trying to visualize the room and go around the room like I did before. And I got to Alice and Dave. And that was
the first time. Okay. Well, but when you leave tonight, make sure you make an appointment with somebody, okay? And work with them one on one, and then you'll be able to do a lot more with it.
What's the reason on the green triangle?
She's wondering,
did she get it?
You got that green triangle. Okay, so maybe your visualization, Connie, maybe your visualization did better than you thought.
See that?
Right?
Good summer.
That's excellent. Good. Kim, I know you weren't with us the last couple of weeks, but share a do-good with us at least.
Well, I have a real big one. I had someone request yesterday that I find an amulet. And I said, I don't know if I can do that, but do you have some other jewelry? And she had a bracelet, so I psychometrized it for a little while. And then my kids, of course, didn't have my energy, so I handed her back her bracelet. And I turned at her and I looked at her and I go, why do I see you playing volleyball, like on a beach or something? You're playing volleyball and there's some pine trees around. She goes, I just got done before I came to the pool. And I started to walk away to go to my 7-year-old, and I saw her. I went, oh, I know that place. I go, when were you at Philippi Creek Oyster Bar? And she goes, that was Saturday. I said, okay. I said, so you lost the anklet between Saturday and today, right? Which was Wednesday, yesterday. And she said, yeah, I lost it Sunday. I said, okay. So then I said something about, you were driving. No, I was on a motorcycle. So I said, okay. So I got awakened last night. My mother, who's on another plane, woke me up to tell me, to tell my brother again. Last time I did a reading for him, I was supposed to tell him to do automatic writing. And she woke me up and said, your brother hasn't done it yet. Call him. And I said, well, he's at work. She said, I know, I'll call him anyway. So I did, and as I got up, I rubbed the top of my head and I focused back on the Shelly person again and her anklet. And I got all kinds of stuff. I wrote it down. And I spoke with her tonight, all kinds of things that are on a her daughter wanting to take a sailing class. I mean, here I am looking for this anklet.
And you're getting all this other
information. And I'm getting all this other stuff.
That's because you were focusing in on her energy, Kim, that was happening.
Oh, yeah. And then after I left her at the pool yesterday, there was another woman there because she went back and was telling her. And she said, oh, I didn't know Kim did that. And the woman said, oh, I'm going to see her later. And I was at a baseball field, and she went to meet a friend and ran into me there. And just as she goes, how do you do that? Do you do switch? I said, I'm not sure how I did. I took these psychic development classes. Here's their number.
Thanks for the recommendation.
And I told her how much one night of meeting and stuff. And I just looked at her and I said, you're thinking of making this major career change. And you have to go back to school for it. I mean, because it's to the point now where I see things. I see like her sitting in a classroom with blue chairs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have to focus on anything, right?
It's just coming in. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So it sounds like you've been having a whole lot of do-goods. And Kim, by the way, is now doing this professionally and started out the same way you people are right now.
I have a pass in my car.
Yeah. Very good. Congratulations, Kim.
Thanks.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really exciting because once you've heard, and I've also had transference where there's something wrong with someone else, and I'm done reading them, and suddenly I have their ailment their thing. And I remember discussing that in class at time. I thought, wow, that's weird. And once you start having these things happen, it blows you away to have people sitting there with their mouths hanging open going, and like I said to her, I said, there's something about your boyfriend, he's rubbing your head, he wants you to grow your hair longer. Yeah, he said that to me last night. I said, there's some kind of joke he calls you his. Not motorcycle mama, but something mama with a motorcycle. Yeah, he calls me his Yama mama. And, you know, and when you get this confirmation back from the people, it's like, this is cool. Uh-huh. You know, I can actually do this, you know?
Yeah.
How do you do it? Uh-huh. You meditate, you come to these classes, you work on it, and it just happens.
And it'll develop. Everybody's got the ability. And mind you, everybody's abilities are slightly different. And what you've got to do is to work on them all, and the ones that you have the greatest potential for are going to flourish, they're going to develop. That's great. Thanks for sharing that, Karen.
Yeah, thank you for letting me have.
Karen, what about you?
Well, I had a couple of things that do good. Like I was restless at about 3 or 4 in the morning and got up and went to the door, and Blackie, my cat, was waiting right by the door. And that happens to me frequently with my cat, that I can read where he is, or 2 o'clock in the morning, though. And then also I had a call at a patient's house, and I called just when I knew the RN was leaving, and I just did it. It just happens. So things, I've had a lot of do good type of things like that. As far as like Jane said, she sent me a message. I kept seeing Jane. I didn't really make the appointment, but I kept seeing her in a place with a lot of things on the wall, shelves, and a counter, you know.
And then
I don't know, maybe brown.
Dark color, right?
Yeah, it was a dark color. Okay. And a yellow triangle as I was going out the door just wasn't even concentrating on anything in the class. I was so, you know, scared.
Hey, Jane, can you give her some feedback?
Yeah, there is a counter at my desk, and it's a dark blue. Well, it's a royal blue. And there's all kinds of paper work all over. The back space of the counter is just paper, because I put little notes up there.
Okay, sounds like you saw her at her desk, which is good. Were you able to see what she had on? Any color?
Not white. I kept seeing white pants, but that's not really, not on the color of the clothes.
Mm-hmm. Remember what you had on that day?
That was Monday.
Yes, it was Monday, because that's about the only time I concentrated on it.
I don't agree.
Okay, but you did get the surroundings, which was good.
Maybe she picked up the white paper.
She might have picked up the paper.
For some reason,
the paper
white
is white.
Pants was sticking in my head. But.
Now, what did you send to her?
I sent to her a green circle.
Okay. No, didn't get that. But there was a connection there, which was good in terms of that long-distance viewing. Where did you see her?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, but she didn't send anything to you.
Yeah,
so that's excellent.
I wasn't really concentrating on
something. Yeah, I'm sitting there and I'm not getting anything.
Okay.
Nothing's there.
So, right on. You got nothing, she sent nothing. That's a plus. Okay? That's right. Very good. That's the kind of control we're working towards developing. Okay? Now, when you were visualizing Karen, what did you see?
I saw her, and I've seen her there twice now, in a kitchen, making a cup of coffee. She's got a white uniform, pants, you know, some sort of white outfit, like she's getting ready for work.
Very good.
Because we try to make it early in the morning because that's my best time.
Right.
Concentration because of the evening.
Uh-huh.
My evenings are shot.
That was very good. Karen is a nurse.
That's so good to see her in that white outfit. I was just going to say, why was she bending over those beds with an old person?
Yeah, right.
That's what I do on a home health day. And that's what I do, stand in front of the cabin, have coffee, my wife,
and she starts bending up.
That's right.
Always stand in front of the gate like that, too.
Yeah. Excellent. Very good, both of you. Jane, what was your best do-good?
Well, my best do-good was sort of strange because a friend of mine was talking with her sister, and when she got off the phone, she called me, and I said, oh, we're going to go see them Sunday. And she said, yes, and I said, we're going to take our bathing suits, and I'm going to be the whale of the pond. And she laughed, and I said, why? Is that what she was talking about? Because I'm sort of hefty, and I know that. But her sister's worried that she's heavier than I am, and she didn't want to wear a bathing suit, and I just told her, I said, tell her not to worry, I'll be there.
Uh-huh.
So it just all fell together, and it was sort of funny.
Good.
And I hadn't even noticed you talked to her yet, so.
Excellent. Jean, we know what you did with your telepathy. What was your best do-good?
I don't know if this is a do-good or if it's from being married 46 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was getting breakfast and thinking, gosh, my husband and I, sure, I've been talking sometime now. I said, he looks so good in that shirt. It's a blue shirt.
Uh-huh.
So he came out of the bedroom, and for no reason, he said, is this the shirt you want me to wear?
Excellent. Uh-huh.
You want a blue look?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a blue one.
Uh-huh.
I black out today.
Yeah, but I had blue on the other diving
pool. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, Jean raises a good point, though. People who work together, people who live together, husbands and wives, everyone is innately psychic. And as you are around someone for any length of time, you build up that telepathic language that many times you don't even know that you have. And it's funny to watch two regular old ordinary people that aren't studying anything psychic, to watch them interact with each other, and you, on the outside, observe their psychic interaction that they don't even know they're having, okay? Now, you know, Jean, you're starting to become aware of this, and wait until you start, you know, I think you've just touched the surface. Just wait, okay? And I've been, with John and I, remember I said last week, every relationship has a sender and a receiver? John and I started out, he was the sender, I was the receiver. And he is particularly good at sending things like taste and feel, and John loves to eat. So we were married, and in our first year I gained 20 pounds, our first year of marriage, because he would sit there in front of the television and he'd taste popcorn, and I'd get up and eat it. He'd taste a sandwich, and I'd get up and eat it. And after I had eaten, you know, like enough to make me get nauseous and throw up, pardon my language, he would finally get up and have himself a little tiny sandwich or a cracker. So he never gained the weight. He just thought of all the stuff and I put it on. When I finally caught on, okay, was one day when he said, oh, I felt like eating that, but it took me a while to figure out what I wanted. And that's when I finally caught on this was going on, because he wasn't verbalizing. He was just focusing on it, okay? And his sending was working through feeling, touching, tasting it. And of course we had the link, so I was connecting. Once I caught on, I realized that, you see, the link is there. And if he can use it, I can use it. And so now when I want a cup of coffee, I just taste the coffee. And remember we learned about letting it go? And I let it go. And about 5 minutes or so later, he gets up and makes a cup of coffee. And so, you see, pay attention to these things, because it works both ways. Once you learn the link, once you learn how it works, you can use it. Okay, that was good. How about it?
I work all weekend, which I normally don't work weekends, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's like real quiet down at the club all weekend. It's not, the phone doesn't ring, people don't come in or anything. And all weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I'm like, who's watching me.
There's
no one there. I'm just like, you know, doing my work. And for 2 days, so I'm like, oh my God, I'm going nuts here. I've been at this job
and
too long.
And she finds out
that
someone from class has been long distance viewing her. No. I'm kidding.
So I'm like, oh God, I've been at my job too long. You know, I'm paranoia, whatever. Oh my God, someone's watching me, whatever. The president of the company calls me on Monday, and normally he's only down on Tuesdays. He flies in, I got to drive down to the landing strip, pick him up, blah, blah. So we always know he's going to be there. So he's like, oh, I was there this weekend. He made it a point to tell me he was spying on everyone. He went to all the different courses and checked out all the pros and made sure he knew what everyone was doing when he wasn't announced.
Very good.
So I was like,
Your feeling was accurate. Very good.
Uh-huh.
Be on your good behavior. The boss is watching. Excellent. That's good.
Yeah, and I don't have a partner to do shapes with, but maybe we'll get together after class and
okay.
See.
That sounds good. That sounds good. And David, what was your best do?
I guess I was talking to somebody I was working with, and as we were conversing, she was saying her husband fell and broke his leg, and right away it came to mind that he fell off a ladder and broke his leg. I said, well, how did he break his leg? She said, well, he was on a ladder and he fell off. So.
Now you see the difference here. Kim has reached the point where she's feeling comfortable enough with herself that she's verbalizing the image that you saw, but weren't going to say until you had proof. Okay.
Did you tell her which leg it was?
No, I didn't. But I was just kind of
very good.
It just seems
strange. David, this is how it has to begin. You have to ask to get the feedback. Eventually, you'll have the confidence to say, "This is what I see." You know, how did he do it?
Yeah.
You
well,
see?
That's me too. Because with my boss, she was trying to visualize what she had on, and it came pink, no red. And then when I walked over, she had like a deep rose colored.
It was a combination of both.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. That's a big part of what these classes are all about, is getting the feedback for you to develop the confidence. Okay, because everybody is already getting these kinds of feelings, getting these intuitions. You're getting things that work in your life and help you to make your lives richer, but you don't necessarily have the confidence to trust it and to believe it. Believe me, when you start to do that, it's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. You don't ever have to walk into any situation and get surprised, not even by somebody having on something that's a little strange. Okay, as far as dreams are concerned, we've been doing a little bit, or trying to do a little bit each week with a dream. Who has a short little dream that we can work with interpreting?
Well, you said to write it in detail.
Okay, well, let's hear it, Karen.
Well, this is I'm standing outside of my home, and David has pulled up in his car, and he gets out of his car, and his behavior is very strange. His face looks like, he looks like a big rat, like it's a vicious, sinister look. And I got very frightened. I had a lot of apprehension, and I ran back into the house. And when I went, am I going too fast?
I'm okay.
Into the house, my friend Jackie is standing in the kitchen, and she's asking me, "Where's the baby?" And she asked me again, "Where's the baby?" And I was really worried because I knew this baby existed, but I ran out back outside to find this baby. But I knew there was a presence of the baby, and then I, you know, that was it. Then, let's see. Then I felt I had the baby in the house, and then I was hiding in the bedroom, and I locked the door, and then I thought I was safe, but then I heard David's voice right next to my ear, and then I was glad I woke up. I tried to be as detailed as I could.
So you ran back into the house,
ran into the house.
You felt the baby was there?
Yes, I felt the presence of the baby, but not the physical being.
Okay.
Which was
okay.
Presence.
And you also felt, what about David? What did you say about that?
That he was sinister. He was had.
No, this is as a tail end. Go back and read. What did you say there?
I felt that I had locked him out of the house because I had made sure I saw myself visibly locking this door.
Okay.
And then I heard him, his voice is very deep, and it seemed to be right near my ear, and I was, you know,
apparently I hadn't locked him out. He had gotten in somehow.
Okay.
I didn't feel safe, and, you know, I woke up.
Steve, your husband?
No, he's...
Ex-boyfriend, right?
An ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is important, especially when you have a dream that's a little bit, when you're in the dream, and obviously she had a lot of things going on in this dream that were emotional, where she had fear of him, she was astonished at the sinister look of his face, she had a yearning to find this baby, mm-hmm. She had a feeling of protection. She had a lot of strong emotional feelings through this dream. When you have a dream like that, it's real important to also note, at the moment you woke up, as soon as you woke up, how'd you feel?
Safe.
Okay.
Felt safe. Relieved.
That's very important.
Relieved. You know, that
woke
feeling
safe and relieved. Okay. That's very important. Now, I'm not talking about, when I asked that question, I'm not talking about how you felt 5 minutes afterwards when you were reading the dream. I'm talking about the feeling upon release of the dream, upon awakening. Because that feeling very, very often gives you a real strong insight into what the dream is trying to tell you. Okay? Now, if we take this blow by blow, she is standing initially outside of her home. What did I tell you about the home last week in a dream? Who remembers?
Well, it's the nucleus, right? I don't know
the
if
home,
you said that, but it's your surroundings, your space.
You.
Yes,
you.
Your physical home is you.
You, right.
Okay? So in this dream, you're feeling that you're initially outside of your home. There's the house in the background, but you start outside of it, and David pulls up in his car looking sinister. Okay? So right in the beginning of the dream, we know that the dream is about David. He's in his car, that's his space, it's mobile, he's not there in the house right now, is he?
No.
Okay? We also know that because the dream takes place outside of the house. So she's got her space locked up behind her, but she's not in it. And she's leaving that space to deal with this gentleman that she apparently has, what, concerning? A sense of fear. Okay? She apparently feels that there is something sinister or unpleasant or unhealthy about this individual, which is why he's outside of her house and her dealings with him are outside of her space, not inside it. That's the most important part of the dream, right here. And we go back to the bottom when she is in the house feeling safe and relieved. So she's feeling in her own space, getting back into her own persona, she's feeling safe. Now let's see what's in between here. She got frightened at his looks and she ran into the house. What did she do?
Went into my safe
right.
space, my quarters, me. Yeah.
Apparently, in this relationship with this fellow David, you had reached out of yourself and you had lost yourself. The house was behind you. And when that felt uncomfortable, you moved back into your space. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this is very interesting. Her friend Jackie is in the house. What does that say about Jackie?
Jesus is the safe person.
Yeah, she's let Jackie in. Jackie is in your space. She is someone you trust and you feel good about, okay? So Jackie is in the inside spot in you. She's somebody you're safe with. She's someone you're sharing yourself with. Apparently you never did with David, okay? Now, Jackie says, where is the baby? What do you think the baby is? Does Carrie have babies?
That might be her, me.
Okay, it could be her. Where is your inner child?
Where's the inner child?
What else could it be?
David.
No?
Could it be where is he?
Could be if she called him my baby. Okay.
Baby.
What else could it be? What is a baby?
It's a vulnerable entity that needs care.
And what else is it? It's a life beginning.
Okay.
Or it's a project beginning.
Okay.
It's something new in your life that needs nurturance, that needs caring. That's what a baby is, okay? Now, I'm not saying that every time you see a baby in a dream, that's what it means.
Right.
A baby could literally mean somebody's pregnant. But more often than not, the baby represents something either within yourself that you're protecting and nurturing, or something within your life and your environment that you've given birth to it already. It's not a birthing. The baby is there. But now it needs to be brought up. It needs to be kept safe. It needs to be nurtured. Okay? And as Karen points out, it's vulnerable. It's a part of yourself.
And it'd be real important for you to find it because you couldn't actually physically see the baby, but you knew it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, so she says, where's the baby? Now, this is important for another reason. Your friend Jackie
also knows this.
Yes, and she's pointing you. She is, in this sense, in the dream. She's acting as a guide. She's pointing you in the direction. She's reminding you of something you've got to find, you've got to get. Perhaps you've got to get back on track. Okay? Where's the child within? Where's the sense of self that perhaps you lost? Where's the enterprise that you were starting on before David came into your life? Where's the baby? And Jackie's the one who's shaking the tree and saying, pay attention, girl. Okay? Next step, you ran back into the house and you felt the presence of the baby. When you ran back into the house, you also felt safe, back in your own space. Okay? And you felt the presence of the baby in the house. Now, what does this say? And she just started meditating this week, too. What does this say?
It's in me. It's that whole new rebirthing of something new.
That's right. And when you get into your space, when you become true to yourself, you find out who you are, okay? Yeah. You are solid and grounded and stable. Your space, your house, this is where you feel that presence of that baby, that entity. Now, you felt that you had locked David out of the house, but you heard his voice in your ear.
Yeah, right.
What's interesting here, though, is that you still felt safe and protected. What does that say?
Then I won't be shaken, but it'll be, you know.
She also pointed to her right ear, which is your generative ear. Mm-hmm. So if you felt it in your receptive ear, in your generative ear, you would have been able to.
There's something else in here, too. I don't know if you still have dealings with this David at all.
No, not anymore.
But what I get out of this is that when you're in your house, i.e. when you're in your space, when you're solid, when you're grounded, when you're feeling that you are whole, you can interact with someone like David
and
he cannot hurt you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's the important thing is you being in your space. Now, in this dream, were you on the ground floor level in the house or upstairs?
Ground floor.
Okay, because the ground floor level always will indicate your everyday life experience. The basement will be your subconscious, the upper floor is progressively higher levels of consciousness leading into super consciousness. Okay. Very good. Okay. Now, if you notice, she had a long dream on the board. It looks real short, doesn't it? What I did is I just scaled it down as she was talking to the important points. After a while, you're going to get real good at doing this on your own. And two things I want to leave you with before break. One, make sure you have the numbers of your fellow phone numbers of your fellow students in class. Because when you have your dreams, okay, we only have time to do maybe one, maybe two sometimes if we have extra time in class. But we don't have a lot of time here to discuss these. You've got to practice interpreting them with your fellow students. So don't be afraid to take a dream and call one of your fellow students and say, hey, what do you make of this? And work together to scale it down by lines as I did, remembering that the most important part of the dream is in the first one or two lines. And if you work with each other occasionally, you're going to have a dream that you really need additional interpretation. You can bring it in, we'll discuss it in class, but you're going to find you get a lot out of this by bouncing off each other. The other thing I want to leave you with is, and you might want to do this on our break, is to set up your appointment for your telepathy with your partner. And this time, this week, I want everybody to work in even partners. And, you know, Kim, I know you can't be here every week, but you can certainly communicate with someone by phone, okay, and keep up with it that way, okay? Now, this time, we're going to start graduating. We're getting a little more detail. I still want you to pay special attention to your long-distance viewing. Get as clear an image of the person, what they've got on, and as much of where they are and what they're doing as you can. Once you've done that, what I would like you to do is to send a very simple object.
After we visual.
For example, I might send this bottle of Coke, okay? Or I might send a napkin or a handkerchief, okay, or a picture. Keep the object simple. The simpler the object, the easier it will be to send. And because we're now going to start to deal with objects, you're going to have the ability to interject, like if I were sending the Coke, I could taste it. I could feel the coldness of it. I can interject other feelings that'll help me to send it, and that'll make the receiver get a clearer picture of it. OK? okay? And remember, of course, to write down not only what you sent and what you thought your partner was wearing, where they were, and what you received, but remember to write down what you had on and where you were too, so that when we come back and you compare notes, you can give your partner some feedback.
Okay?
Okay, let's take our break, and we do have a lot of ground to cover, and I don't want to let you out here too late again, so let's take just a 5-minute break. Okay, coffee is made, and there's some cookies up there too.
Well, this way.
Okay.
Let me
get on. Hope everybody had a good break. What we're going to learn tonight, and I have to go through this pretty quickly, because as always, we just love to go on and on, all of us, don't we? If you would take one of these and pass it around, I would appreciate it. I think that everybody's got one, okay? Or will have one.